Baptism. Many of you may have been baptized as an infant. I was baptized as an infant. I can tell you I don't remember. Right? And many of you may have been baptized as a youth or maybe an adult, and might have been some time ago, and therefore not remembering super well that baptism, right? Easy. And then there may be some that have not been baptized and are really curious what it's about, right? Well, that's what we're going to go through today. So baptism. Oh. Might need help. I think I might have gotten help. Thank you. So first off, I do want to mention, because in remembering our baptism, some folks say, well, if I got baptized as an infant, why don't I just do it again? Then I'll remember it, right? Or I got baptized in not a Methodist church, but a different Christian church. So Methodists, we don't do, and many churches do not do rebaptism, right? It only takes one time. Okay? But you know what we're going to do today? After the message, we're going to do a ceremony where, if you would like, you can have a remember your baptism time. And I'll take you through that in a moment. So, but baptism. Baptism is a sacrament. You're like, okay, I thought you were going to tell us about the baptism. Now you're telling me about sacrament, right? Well, that's important because there are two sacraments in the Methodist Church. One is baptism and the other is communion. And the word sacrament comes from the Latin word sacramentum, and sacra, Latin, means holy. All right? Mentum, mysterion, mystery. So think of sacraments, whether it's baptism or communion, as a sacred oath with God. Pretty awesome, huh? A sacred oath with God. And the mystery portion of it is that these sacraments are spiritually quite potent and powerful because they're through and with God. All right. And the last important point about a sacrament is it's done through something physical, all right, and then channeled through Christ. You're like, physical? Okay. So baptism, you may have heard or experienced that we use water, okay, in the baptism. And then communion, the physical element, is bread and wine or grape juice, right, is the physical element. Okay. By the way, you're happy to know there is no test on any of this. Okay. All right, next slide. Please. Since Martin Luther, Martin Luther had a quote that kind of helps us with sacrament. The essential feature of a sacrament was that it was a physical sign of a promise of God, like that sacred oath, the use of which was sanctioned by Christ himself on the cross. Now, you're probably going, okay, how does a sacrament work in baptism with the cross? It's about love. Christ's death, Jesus' death and resurrection is all in a love for us. And we'll talk about that. But it's all about love. Next slide. So water. What does water symbolize in baptism? Think of it as a cleansing of our times that we stepped away from following what God will want in our lives, often called sin, right? Do you like how I didn't use sin at the first, right? It's oftentimes a word people go, but no, it's that. It's cleansing our sins. And next slide. What's wonderful, and it goes back to Martin Luther's comment about the cross with baptism, Jesus' death and resurrection is all about love, because that cleansing of sin, folks, this is so powerful. We are forgiven by God. Incredible love. What God wants for us is to not be ashamed and to not be separated from God. So therefore, God wants us to feel good in the presence of God, such that we are very close to God. Incredible love. God loves us unbelievably. Important part of understanding baptism. Next slide, please. Now, I mentioned earlier spiritual potency of baptism and communion. And what it symbolizes is God's grace, God's love for us, and the power of grace. And what's nice about grace, would you agree in our society you pretty much have to earn everything you get? Or it feels that way? Fair? It's not the way God works. Grace, God's love, is free. We do not have to work for that. In fact, in the Bible in Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. So it's not about our efforts to receive God's love. At any stage in our life, God's love is always there for us. And in fact, next slide, please. One of the ways I like to think of grace is thinking of a house that God wants us to be in. So a house. And John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, talked about three kinds of graces. Again, there's no test on this. But there are three kinds of graces. And so here we have a house. Is that a great looking front porch or what? Right? And imagine those two rocking chairs. You're sitting in one and God is in the other. And the first kind of grace is prevenient grace. It is the grace that God is always inviting us into relationship with God. In fact, I like to call it, God is always tapping us on the shoulder and saying, remember me, I'm here, right? So that's kind of the front porch. In fact, prevenient grace comes from preventing us from staying away from God. Pretty wonderful. It fits into last week, because last week we talked about inviting folks to our church that may not have experienced church, experienced God, understands Christ, and can be a little scary. Prevenient grace is the work that God does with us in inviting folks to our church. Next slide, please. Okay, so remember, God's house, right? We're on the front porch. The next type of grace is justifying grace. This is God's love, support, and power for us to make the decision to turn our life over to God and follow Christ. So this is a point in time where we make a decision to have God first priority in our life and follow Christ. Folks, If you are baptized as an adult or youth, this is the grace that allows you to do that. Because that, as a youth or adult, that is a decision. Do I want to be baptized and follow Christ in my life? Okay. Now you're kind of going, wait, what if I'm an infant? I didn't make any decision as an infant. The way infant works is if you're baptized as an infant, parents or guardians have taken an oath to raise you within a church, and the church has taken an oath to support that child. Does that make sense? Right? So that's the difference. But if you're baptized as an infant, even though you didn't make that decision, you absolutely are supported by the grace in your journey with Christ. So you make the decision or are baptized by as an infant. Next slide, please. At that time, you have opened the door and now are doing the time with God in God's house. And I love this. So Kevin Watson, Dr. Kevin Watson, he's a professor in the theological seminary at Emory. We did a sermon series on his book, Blueprint for Discipleship, and this is his quote. John Wesley reminds us that once we are in the house, we made a decision to follow Christ and spend time with God. Wesley reminds us that once we are in the house, God wants us to live in it. God doesn't want us to just look around as if we are in a museum or on a tour, admiring the beauty and splendor as a spectacular, as a spectator. No, God actually wants us to move in. We are invited to live with God. By the way, the Wesley term for the grace that supports us in our walk with Christ and growing in Christ's likeness is sanctifying grace. So think of it as in the house with that grace, discovering all the different ministries in the church and out in the community that you can serve and take care of others. Do discovery and find all the different passions you have with God, right, to follow Christ. By the way, you're doing a big part of it right now. You can do this because you are. This is worship each Sunday where we learn about Christ and God, right? So you're doing big time that. And beyond that, though, we have many different ministries in the church and work out in the community. Discover them. That's roaming around in God's house, right? Next slide, please. Okay. So what's the goal of Christianity? What is the goal? Okay, this may be a little shocking because we always say that as a Christian, we're not perfect. Isn't that nice to know? Okay. Perfection, in other words, we're not. All right. But here's what's interesting. The goal of Christianity, and this is from Kevin Watson, and so the goal of Christianity, according to John Wesley, founder of Methodism, is to be completely renewed to the image of God, to be made perfect in love. That doesn't mean perfect in all the other things we do in life. And by the way, we may never reach that perfection. It's just as we follow Christ and follow his ways in our life, we're working toward loving God and loving our neighbor. Better and better on that journey. Next slide. So, when John the Baptist is talking to Jesus about baptism, John says, hey, no, you should be baptizing me, knowing that Jesus being divine. Jesus goes, no. Baptism is important for all of us, and I'd like you to baptize me. Essentially, Jesus was letting us know that baptism is important, and he wanted to be baptized by John the Baptist. Now, what's interesting in our scripture, did it get your attention that when Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water, and then the skies opened, the heavens opened, and then, next slide, and the Spirit of God, so God says, this is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. How about that? Not a surprise, God loving his Son Jesus and being very pleased. Jesus perfected in love. That's who we follow, right? Not a surprise there. In my research on this scripture, next slide, it is the same words, very close. In Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah heard from God these quotes, these words. God said, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, whom I delight. Remember the previous, when the heavens open, I am well pleased. Here, God is saying, I am delighted, right, with Isaiah. Why? I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. Justice is loving our neighbor, helping folks out that are struggling. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teachings, the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says. Okay. So when we follow Christ, notice the word servant is used often in scripture. In our society, we're called volunteers, right? As a Christian, we're a servant because we're serving the Lord in the work we do loving our neighbor. Right? So kind of weird, but in fact, next slide, please. We did a sermon series a while back. Sermon, it was from a book by Pastor Michael Slaughter of Ginghamsburg United Methodist Church. He wrote a book, Change the World. And his quote in there, I prefer to use the term servants instead of volunteers because volunteers serve on their own convenience while servants serve at the discretion of the one who calls God. So, kind of different, isn't it? But we are all servants. And notice God called Jesus a servant, right? Okay. Last two slides. Yeah. So water. God loves us unbelievably and forgives us for our past. Does ask us to turn around from things we probably should think about turning around from, and now following Christ. And next slide. And we just, in following Christ, most important thing is loving God and loving our neighbor, right? And working toward perfection in love. Praise be to God.